David whistled. "You think Lincoln's reputation can survive our seeing all that?" He began to set up a new run. She shrugged. "Lincoln remains an impressive figure, even though he wasn't gay." That jolted David.
"What? Are you sure?"
She smiled. "Not even by." From the neighboring cubicle, he could hear a faint sound of high-pitched screaming. Heather smiled at him tiredly.
"Mary, she's watching the Beatles again."
"The Beatles?" Heather listened for a moment.
"The top 10 club in Hamburg, April 1961, probably. Legendary performances, where the Beatles are thought to have played better than they ever did again. Never filmed, and so, of course, never seen again until now. Mary is working her way through the performances, night after night of them."
How are things between you?"
She glanced at the partition, spoke in a subdued whisper.
"I'm worried that our relationship is heading for a full-scale breakdown. David, I don't know what she does half the time, where she goes, who she meets. All I get is her anger. It was only the bribe of using an Our World worm cam that brought her here today. Aside from the Beatles, I don't even know what she's using it for."
He hesitated.
"I'm somewhat dubious about the ethics of what I'm offering, but would you like me to find out?"
She frowned and pushed graying hair out of her eyes.
"Can you do that?"
"I'll talk to her."
The soft screen image stabilized.
"The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here."
Lincoln's audience, in their stiff top hats and black coats, almost all of them male, looked unutterably alien, David thought. And Lincoln himself towered above them, so tall and spare he seemed almost grotesque, his voice an irritatingly high, nasal whine. And yet,
he said, "his words still have the power to move."
"Yes," Heather said. "I think Lincoln will survive the true bio process. He was complex, ambiguous, never straightforward. He told audiences what they wanted to hear, sometimes pro-abolition, sometimes not. He certainly wasn't the Abe of the legend, old Abe, honest Abe, Father Abe. But he was living in difficult times. He came through a hellish war by turning it into a crusade. If not for Abe, who knows if the nation could have survived?"
"And he wasn't gay?"
"Nope."
"What about the Joshua Speed diary?"
"A clever forgery, put together after Lincoln's death by the ring of Confederate sympathizers who were behind his assassination, all designed to blacken his character, even after they had taken his life."
Abraham Lincoln's sexuality had come under scrutiny following the discovery of a diary supposedly written by Joshua Speed, a merchant in Springfield, Illinois, with whom Lincoln, as a young, impoverished lawyer, had lodged for some years. Although both Speed and Lincoln had later married, and in fact both had reputations as womanizers, rumors had developed that they had lived as gay lovers. In the difficult opening years of the 21st century, Lincoln had been reborn as a figure of toleration and broad appeal. Pink Lincoln, a divided hero for a divided age. At Easter 2015, the 150th anniversary of Lincoln's assassination, this had climaxed in an open-air celebration around the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. For a single night, the great stone figure had been bathed in gaudy pink spotlights.
"I have notarized worm cam records to prove it," Heather said now. "I've had expert systems fast-forward through Lincoln's every sexual encounter. There's not a single trace of gay or bi behavior in there."
"But Speed..."
"He and Lincoln shared a bed those years in Illinois, but that wasn't uncommon back then. Lincoln couldn't afford a bed of his own."
David scratched his head.
"This," he said, "is going to annoy everybody."
She said, "You know, we're going to have to get used to this. No more heroes, no more fairy tales. Successful leaders are pragmatic. Almost every choice they make is between bad options. The wisest of them, like Lincoln, pick out the least worst, consistently. And that's about all you can ask of them."
David nodded.
"Perhaps. But you Americans are lucky that you are already running out of history. We Europeans have thousands more years left to witness."
They fell silent, and gazed at the stiff images of Lincoln and his audience, the tinny voices, the rustle of applause from men long dead.